welcome, welcome. It's been a while since we've had a little OT here on Sportsnet 650. So thanks for checking in, friends. This is OT on Sportsnet 650 with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena. I'm Caroline Frolic, Lindsay Horsting, Lena Sitagian off this evening, a little under the weather, but we promise to do her proud. We also have Eddie Gregory joining us in the Sportsnet 650 studios. Eddie, thanks for working OT to do OT.
Yeah, no problem. I'm officially the third wheel tonight from what I've been told.
Well, we love it. We welcome it. We also welcome all of your texts, 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. We've got some requests for basketball talk, which just made Lindsay here just giddy as a schoolgirl. Yes. So we'll be talking basketball. Of course, we're talking baseball because, hi, who am I? And, of course, we'll be talking Canucks. We're also taking your call, 604-280-0650. What you got? What you thinking? So, Lindsay, my friend, I suppose we should start with Canucks.
Yes. Well,
we were joking. What do we, right now, there's no E next to their team in the standings, no eliminated. Their odds are less than 1%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yikes. So you're telling me there's a chance at Rogers Arena. They play the Dumb and Dumber clip, and it absolutely works here. So you're telling me there's a chance. So, Lindsay, what's your feeling? What's your beliefometer right now with three games left and where they are in the standings?
Well, after the whole situation with the Senators and Adam Gaudette scoring the winning goal and all of the memes. There was one that Chris Faber retweeted, which was incredible. It was Gaudette, and then his wife was sitting in the chair. It was at their wedding, and she had her hands over her eyes because that was right before Adam did his, like, sexy dance for her and then swung his leg. He was intending to swing it over top of her head. And then it kicked her in the face accidentally. Mm-hmm. And that was just like the most incredible meme I've ever seen. So after that whole situation happened, I thought, you know, if you lose like that to the Senators, this is not a playoff team. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to the playoffs after that.
And I love how you called it the Senators situation. Like, it wasn't the loss against the Senators. It was a Senators situation. It was that painful, but we were even joking at the Sportsnet 650 studios because I work mornings, so I saw Halford and Bruff, and I'm like, watch the Canucks lose to the Senators. That would be so Canucky to have such an incredible game, and then the team that they should beat on paper, they don't, especially at this time. And it was just kind of a big kick in the face, if you will, to, you know, bring it back to Faber's meme. Yes, and the meme was, I think it was Adam Gaudette, and it said Ottawa Senators, and then his wife was Canucks playoff hopes, and you just knew what was happening. So well done, sir. Well done, Mr. Faber. And his social media makes me giggle anyway. So yeah,
totally.
But I mean that, and then Calgary. I mean, Calgary's legit. I don't want to say it, and don't hate me, but Calgary's legit, but beatable, because if you recall, a few weeks ago, it was a 7-1 final here in Vancouver. Just ask Chase Claypool how he feels about that game. So, I mean, every team's beatable. Eddie?
Here's the analogy I have of where the Canucks are at the very moment. Yeah. They are Wile E. Coyote right now. They've gone over the cliff, but they haven't yet fallen, and he's looking square at the camera saying, help. And then the next split second is when the Canucks are officially going to drop. That's where the Canucks season is at right now, going in this game against Seattle.
That is the perfect scenario. I want to hear what the listeners have to say, too, because that's actually fantastic. That is so true, and I can just see it in my head right now. The help me, and then boom. But, I mean, again, can we just – all right, so we're doing the show from home. I mean, full disclosure, I don't think anyone is really – I don't think it's a leap to say that. Eddie, of course, in the studio, making sure we're on the air. Lindsay and I at our respective homes. So I pulled up a Word document from when I had COVID at the end of November, and I was forced to work at home because, you know, COVID. So here is my script from November. Okay. I tested positive November, I think it was the 24th. So it was end of November, beginning of December. The downward spiral that is the Vancouver Canucks continues. Last night was a 4-1 loss at Pittsburgh to open a 5-game road trip. Canucks have lost 6 of 7. The Canucks were outshot 13-4 in the first 12 minutes. Four straight losses on the road. The Canucks have been outscored 23-7. Afterward, JT Miller said it all. And I think that's when JT was just like, I got nothing. Like, what the F kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so from that team, November, December, to the fact that, okay, so they may have been out of it for maybe longer than this week. But still, the fact that they were still in the playoff conversation about a month ago after this little script from hell and that mm-hmm. time from hell, I'm sorry. Call me a homer, call me whatever you want. The fact that they've had that rebound, there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel. Is there a hell of a lot of work to do? Can I say hell? I just did. There's a hell of a lot of work to do in the off season. Absolutely. But that's why they're paid the big bucks and they wear suits and they work at Rogers Arena. I think they know that. I think that's why they were hired. But I don't know. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. This time last year, did we see any hope whatsoever?
I mean, I would even say, you know, had Bruce Boudreau been brought into the team, mm-hmm. you know, at the very start of the season, we would see the Canucks in the playoffs, no questions asked, not a 1% or less than 1% chance.
Yeah.
So, yes, while your script, it was very tragic before he came in, it, you know, if he was here sooner, right? 2 months sooner, yeah. It would make such a difference.
Like, yeah. Here I am working from home with COVID and I have this crap to deal with. Come on, throw me a bone here. Now I'm sick. Now I feel sick. But yeah, my father-in-law, Caps fan, so knows Bruce Boudreau well, not personally, but you know, knows of Bruce Boudreau well. He sent me and my husband a text saying, if only Bruce was there 10 games sooner.
Right.
But I mean, easy to say, if only, you know, if only I bought that lottery ticket, if only I didn't walk across the street, if only. Hindsight's always 20/20, but it just kind of makes you go, damn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean,
But I think that's a valid argument, because the Canucks struggled so much, and there were so many points in time where you thought, Travis should get fired here, Travis should get fired there. And they waited until the early part of December before it got done. And, I mean, hindsight's a powerful drug, and it's 2020, and we saw what happened afterwards. And I think there's a valid case to support that.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was just so bad at that point. And you're right. You can look and go, oh, my God, Travis has got to go now. And how is Benning still there now after this? And why aren't they doing anything? It's like, again, we're going to go to memes. You know, the kid poking the you know, mound with the stick, do something. But how to think that it was going to get that bad, like that was rock bottom. Mm-hmm. To think that it was going to get that bad, you would have thought that, okay, looking at this team on paper, no, they can't keep spiraling. Oh God, they're still spiraling. Oh my God, make it stop. So I think, and then the jersey on the ice, I mean, Habs did it first, but the jersey on the ice, I think it was just so, it got so bad in there that they had to do something. But dang, if only it was just a few games before, as if it wouldn't have to have gone to rock bottom.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine?
But the penalty killing was so horrifically bad for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's enough, you would think, to justify the firing of a coach weeks before Travis Green got the axe.
Seriously, like it became a joke every time the Canucks were down a man. It was just, oh, well, there's a goal. And boom, within seconds, it was comical at one point. And you just kind of look around and you're going, someone going to say something? Someone going to do something? Yeah, it was, you're right, Eddie, that alone should have just been the big red flag. But I guess you just have to hit rock bottom before you hit change.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they have picked it up. You know, there's been ebbs and flows. Like, the consistency hasn't always been there from Pettersson or Garland, right? Like, they needed it to be every single game, but, or even, you know, Brock for that matter. But, you know, the result, and, you know, while things did get better and a lot of people are seeing or having a lot of optimism, I just, I don't know. It's the same result, right? In the last 7 years, they've missed the playoffs 6 times. So this would be the 6th time. I don't know, you know, how great that is. It's still the same result, even if you have all these great players, this great core. So, you know, I don't know.
And it's, what's there to celebrate about that? And that's your point, right?
I know.
They missed the playoffs so many times. Okay, JT Miller might hit 100 points and Quinn Hughes is going to get the points record, the assist record for a defenseman. But what does it matter if you miss the playoffs again?
Yeah, right. 330 goal scorers. And even Pettersson said that. He goes, I don't care. It's about the playoffs. Since when do individual stats do anything? Yeah. You know, 330 goal scorers and going to miss the playoffs, allegedly. Not officially yet. There's still less than 1%, 1% chance. But I mean, you're right. I mean, maybe I'm just all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. I had a nap today, so maybe I'm all sunshine and rainbows and think that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But you're right. I mean, you can try real hard, as my mom would say, who did not follow sports. At least they tried real hard. You should be happy about that. And it's like, no, that's not how it works, Mom. That's not how
it works. I love when you
do
your mom's accent and she sounds like she's from Minnesota. That's cute.
Nova Scotia.
That's adorable.
Yeah. My mom's a blue noser. Love her. But yeah, so it just, there's something to be said about trying real hard, but okay, so do something. Let's poke you with the stick. Do something. But I don't know. I think that there's reason to be somewhat optimistic. Do I think there, again, do I think there needs to be changes? 100%. And, you know, you don't bring in someone like Jim Rutherford and expect him to just sit around. I mean, he's known for making, you know, the big moves. So, I mean, the trade deadline, I was like, well, that was very anticlimactic, but it's going to be an interesting offseason. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line, unsigned text. Don't worry, ladies. Tavares, Matthews, and Marner, McDavid, and Draisaitl, Goudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm will all have the same amount of points in the playoffs as Miller and Pettersson and Horvat. Zero.
That was awesome. That's awesome.
That's actually awesome because, you know, there are a lot of Leaf fans in the City News 1130 in the newsroom, a lot of Toronto transplants, and they like to poop talk. And I just go, you know, Canucks would love to play the Leafs over and over and over.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, they're the lesser team. And I'm like, well, that's a big cell phone that you can't beat a lesser team.
We've got another text in here from Ryan in Chemainus. Still hoping the Canucks make it. Canucks, 3 wins, Vegas, win and 2 losses, and then Dallas, they need 3 losses. So, I mean, there you go, Ryan. You're probably in with most of the Canucks fan base, hoping that less than 1% chance or 1% chance they have to still make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, and we have someone unsigned text doing my updates. The Canucks have lost three in a row and have lost a number of clutch games against Ottawa, Detroit, Chicago, and Buffalo. That's like my script from every morning. So the Canucks have lost 3 in a row.
That's
tomorrow
awesome.
Tomorrow they're back at it against the Kraken. A team they have not lost to. Yeah, I know.
Nice work, Caroline.
Well, you know. I got tipster here. I know, and it would have been nice for them to beat Ottawa, Detroit, Chicago, and Buffalo. Those are kind of gimme 2 points, or at least one. But, you know, gimme 2 points. And I don't know. This team's a box of chocolates. I could just describe this team in movie quotes over and over and over. But shall we move on? What?
Yes. Were you going to say we're going to talk about Lena's favorite segment? Is that what you were going to say?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That was really loud.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. It shooketh.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie had the music ready. Yes, guy. Eddie, the MVP. Yes.
I know
this
drill.
Is for you, Lena. He knows. He's been scolded by Lena with musical choices and whatnot, but she is not here. She is under the weather, not COVID-related illness. There we go. We have to say that. We're just going to say upper body injury for our Lena. But yes, so this is her segment, and we have to do this in her memory, even though, you know. Grayson, a nice text. Anything is possible. That's true, Grayson. And you know what? If we're sitting here next week going, holy smokes, the Canucks made the playoffs, I owe you guys, I owe you, Lindsay and Lena, a cartwheel down Granville because the Astros did not win the World Series.
Right.
Still rehabbing the neck, getting stronger.
That's fair.
But I could wear a tutu and, you know, click my heels. I can embarrass myself in other ways without having to cause bodily harm because I am old now. I haven't cartwheeled in a while. But yeah, I mean, if the Canucks, wouldn't it be just hilarious if they did make it? I mean, such a long shot, less than 1%. And I couldn't even believe I was saying the standings. I'm like, 9 points behind the Kings. And then someone in the newsroom said, you sure you want to keep saying those numbers? I'm like, there's not an E next to their name, man. Not an E next to their name, putting the disclaimer, less than 1%. But yeah, so anyway, Lindsay, what has you shooketh this evening,
goodness,
my friend? So
okay.
Much.
So many things to be shooketh about. The first I will say is the Raptors not getting eliminated. Oh my goodness. They came
Shaq
to life.
Shaq was wrong.
Yes, he was. Yes. Very exciting for those Raptors over in Toronto, you know. Joel Embiid looking for the sweep, telling Drake that they were going to get the sweep. And, you know, they really, you know, stepped up. And that was pretty awesome on Saturday. So they're playing this is game 5 right now.
Yeah.
And
Joel Embiid whining, fined $15,000 for patronizingly clapping at the refs and saying, oh, they came to do what they had to do. Yes, because Toronto has always gotten the calls. The Raptors have always gotten the calls. Like, shut it. You lost.
I know.
You
yes.
lost. Just take the loss like mm-hmm. a man. But no, he had to whine like a child. He had to whine like me.
So much whining frustration, like though. Yeah, so like last game, they double teamed him, and that's what, you know, helped the Raptors pull off that victory. So it worked, but, you know, tonight's looking, you know, the Raptors are up right now. I mean, there's 2 minutes left in the game, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, 96-82, 2 minutes left.
Yes, so that had me shooketh over the weekend. Caroline, what about you?
Well, what had me shooketh, we were talking about, do we discuss this? Yes, because this mm-hmm. should not go away. Of course, it's made the rounds on social media. The Alberni Valley and Langley game, the mm-hmm. racist comment during the broadcast and the quick action of both Evan Hammond. It was Bruce McDonald that said, I wonder if he speaks English, regarding Owen Kim. And Evan Hammond stepped in, immediately said, you know, that's out of line, you're offside, immediately just shut it down. And BCHL immediately yanked him from the broadcast. Alberni like pulled him off the broadcast, so kudos for the quick action. I'm not shocked it happened because we all know that it's still out there. Racism is still out there. People think it's okay to mock other people's races. But it just made me really sad. And mm-hmm. the fallout for that. And it made me... Pardon me?
Carry on. I want to jump in on this.
No, please do. Please do.
No, like I was out with some friends who I've worked with in the past in the BC Hockey League in recent years when all that started to go down. And you know, I know Evan Hammond, and I've crossed paths with Bruce McDonald, and, you know, the league and the Bulldogs and everyone handled it right. You know, the action was so swift. It went swifter than I thought it would. I didn't expect it to happen throughout the course of the game and before the game being done before.
Yeah.
Basically.
Did they yank him at the whistle?
I don't know exactly how it all played out to the exact minute, but it happened fast. And credit for Evan for immediately hearing where Bruce was going with his comment and just laying down the hammer and just saying no. And, you know, it shows the power of the internet nowadays that you just can't do that and say things like that at any time, no matter it's 2022 or, you know, 1922. You just can't say things like that nowadays. And to me, the one thing that really stood out for me is how fast the league and the team responded to that, because it put my friend Evan Hammond in a tough spot, someone that he's worked with for a long time. But the one thing that stood out for me was good ultimately prevailed, because in game 5, when that incident occurred, The Bulldogs won to extend the series. Series went back to Langley for Game 6 on Saturday night. And guess who scored the empty net goal, the final goal of the series?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Owen Kim.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
props
I love
to him.
It. Yeah.
And I've watched him play a lot this year, and he's a really, really good player. And, you know, he got a lot of undue attention sent his way when he's in the middle of Game 5, having no idea what's going on the outside world. And then he gets off the ice at the end of the game. He's aware of that, and he ultimately puts an end to the series. So credit to him, and credit to Langley, and credit to the league for everyone for handling it the right way.
Yeah, well, and before the show, Lindsay and I were talking, you know, if that were us, how would we react? And I said to my husband, I said, I don't know how I would react. He goes, you wouldn't call him out. He goes, you would probably get in trouble. You would probably call him an effing this, that. And I said, or would I sit nervously and laugh and be in shock about what was said? And I don't react well to things like that. I don't know of anyone who does, you know what I mean? But yeah. I don't know how I would react. I mean, my husband's convinced I would have smacked him upside the head. But kudos to Evan Hammond for, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, in a broadcast, watching a game, doing play-by-play, you know, your mind is going a mile a minute. And he was like, dude, wrong.
And that's really
absolute kudos to Evan Hammond for that. And, I mean, I don't know how I would react. I do not feel the way – I don't subscribe to that school of thought that Bruce McDonald had. But would I have the foresight in the heat of the moment to say something? I would like to think I would. Or would I just be completely classless and call him an effing a-hole and smack him upside the head?
And that's the thing, right? Like, I broadcast in the league pretty much as long as Evan Hammond was. Like, I thought about, what if I was in that spot and – my broadcast colleague, I did this year solo, but what if I was in a broadcast and the exact same situation happened? How would I handle it? I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you. I would have been as shocked as anybody, but would I have acted as quickly? I don't know, because it would have been shocking and maybe just let things settle, but credit for everyone who handled it the way that they did on the weekend.
You're right, 100%. Everyone handled it absolutely perfectly to a T. It shouldn't have had to have happened, but it did.
Right.
And the reaction was swift. Lindsay, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like I would have said, whoa, Bruce, you can't say stuff like that. That's wrong. But it would have come off like that instead of so beautifully and eloquently like Evan said. He's like, whoa, that's too far. Got back into the game. You know, it was just, it was smooth and it was to the point, and he let everyone know where he stood. Mm-hmm. And that was just, that's art, right? It really is art. Like, I would not be that swift. I'd be like, you can't say things like this. Like, that is wrong, you know? Because I would want to let people know that I don't agree with what just happened either, right? And I was like, Caroline and Eddie, you guys were saying, you know, how swiftly things were handled and all that stuff. And I think, yes, absolutely. The swiftness with which it was handled was incredible. And it was done right.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad it had to happen, but the fact that they did the right thing out of an absolute poop sandwich of a situation, and I guess I'm calling it poop sandwich, but, you know, kudos to everyone. And Owen Kim has not spoken publicly. He's just, you know, maintaining class and dignity throughout all of this. And members of Alberni Valley have also apologized as well. Wacy Rabbit, who has dealt with his fair share of racism, has come out and apologized on behalf of the team and everyone. So, I mean, I don't want to say the good thing, but I'm encouraged by the reaction from this, because it's going the right way. I wish it wasn't said in the first place, but it was. Mm-hmm. But the reaction was swift. So kudos, BCHL. Kudos, Alberni Valley. Everyone. What Eddie said. They did it right.
And the unfortunate thing is, if you've been in that building in Port Alberni, the Bulldogs have a big, huge banner that's visible to everyone that says, there's no place for racism in hockey. I mean, it's a terrible optics and terrible irony to go along with all of this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, guys, look up at the banner.
Look to the right, bud.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello, it's right there. Yeah, 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line firing, and someone unsigned text, not going to like what I have to say here. Final score, Raptors 102, 76ers 88. Someone clearly angry the Grizzlies are no longer here, because I guess that was the Raptors' fault. But no, neither of us are Leaf fans. So exhale.
No Leaf fans, but
exhale,
I mean,
take a walk.
Hey. I can't disagree that I wouldn't want to see the Grizzlies still here. So I'm with you.
Wish the Grizz were still here. And I still am that person that maybe there's a chance. Maybe the Grizzlies would come back. Maybe. Are you kidding me? And Lindsay, I could just see you with the Grizz being in town, or a basketball, pro basketball in Vancouver. You would just be camping out there every single night. And that would just be amazing. I mean, Vancouver deserves an NBA team, period. But anyway, it is time for a break. We are going to talk hoops with Lindsay Horsting, our hoop head. And we're also going to talk baseball, because I'm here and I'm verbose. And Eddie is just Eddie, and he's awesome. And he knows everything about everything. So he's going to chime in with us as well. This is OT on Sportsnet 650. Welcome back. Welcome back. It is OT on Sportsnet 650 with Caroline Lindsay, and Lena is on the IL. She has an upper body injury. She is not well. She's on the it's non-COVID related, her illness. We have Eddie Gregory in the Sportsnet 650 studios making sure that we are on the air. We just had a very, very lively discussion in the break about Owen Kim, Bruce McDonald, Evan Hammond, and the bottom line, lady and gentleman, is that swift movement, and kudos to the league. So that had us shooketh. Mm-hmm. And do you know what else has me shooketh, Lindsay?
What's that?
That we are going to listen to you talk about basketball, because nothing makes me happier listening to you talk about hoops. And did a little retweet tonight of Tim McAuliffe, Sportsnet's own Tim McAuliffe, Goran Dragic. He said, Toronto isn't my preferred destination. I have higher ambitions. Well, careful what you say, because it will come back to you, and it is getting tweeted and retweeted, and his higher ambitions. How'd that work out for him there, Lindsay?
Well, unfortunately for Goran Dragic, he just got swept by the Boston Celtics. Now, that was wild. I did not expect a sweep, but there's something that we can all discuss about that in a minute. But that is hilarious. Like, I just find that so funny. And Toronto's still in it, and they just won tonight. So, hey, maybe the Raptors will be moving on, and he is stuck being swept. So yeah. That's
well,
funny.
Even if the Raptors don't, they weren't swept. And even Shaq said, Toronto's going to get swept in that voice.
Exactly.
That's my Shaq voice. Toronto's going to get swept. And they didn't. And no team in NBA history, we know the stats, no team in NBA history has rallied from an 0-3 deficit. And Nick Nurse that said, well, if we win the next one, it'll be, 3-1. And then we can come back. So, I mean, they believe no FVV tonight.
That's right. No FVV. So they do have Scotty Barnes back. I mean, I did see him limping around. They had him back on Saturday as well, and that was really important. And I think that was, part of the reason that they did win. Part of the reason that they won also on Saturday was, we kind of talked about it before the break, they were doubling down on Joel Embiid and forcing him to give up the ball. And as you were saying, Caroline, you could tell how frustrated he was. He was, making comments and, just... they totally had him off his game last game on Saturday. So that really worked for them last game. I wasn't able to watch too much of what they had done this game as we were prepping and all that jazz. But whatever they did worked. I know Scotty Barnes played, so that was good as well. That's definitely key for them. They're rookie of the year. Uh-huh. So, hey, the Raptors have some pretty top talent. And, even though the Nets do too, well, guess what? The Raptors are moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, they're moving on to game six.
To game six, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know what, a few games ago, did you think there was going to be a game six? So, no. Again, we're going to use the Dumb and Dumber clip. We're going to borrow from the Canucks. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Oh, there's a chance.
Now, I want to talk. People are calling for Steve Nash's job, Lindsay.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know. So, well, because of the fact that there were so many more people probably qualified for his job when he was given the job, you know, people who'd been assistant coaches, i.e. Jerry Stackhouse, you know, people who have a lot more experience on the bench. And Steve, yes, he did do some stuff with the Lakers. He did some player development with the Warriors too, mm-hmm. Which is great. But as like an official coaching role is so different than you just throw someone in a head coaching role. It's not that I don't think he has the wherewithal. I mean, he's one of the best basketball players to ever play, changed the game of a point guard, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with people like, you know, KD and Kyrie, and, you know, it's probably best to have at least 1 or 2 or 3 years of, you know, assistant coaching experience before you just dive in there like that.
I mean, or could it be a case of too many big egos? I can't even say it. Could it be that? Could it just be a clash of personalities?
I mean, I certainly thought so before this season started. I thought it's going to be too much for him to handle. One thing, you know, that we can discuss is Ben Simmons, right?
He hasn't
played all year, got traded from Philly midway through the season before the trade deadline, and he was citing mental health issues when he was in Philly, and then he ended up having a herniated disc in his back, so hasn't been able to play. And that's been sort of problematic, but at the same time, I don't think that, you know, there's all this talk and all this white noise about it, and I just don't really think it doesn't even matter. Like, he's not, to me, that much of a game changer. He can't shoot. He can drive, but like, his defense is okay. I mean, he's not going to make that much of a difference, in my opinion, but there's a lot of discussion about it and where his heart is. Like, everyone's, you know, questioning, like, does he love the game? I don't know. Like, I don't know how you feel about that. If someone is citing mental health issues, they've got a back problem. They had said there was sort of outside talk outside of the Nets organization that he was supposed to play tonight. And he didn't, and everyone's, you know, Reggie Miller's like, you don't have any heart and all this jazz. And I'm like, but I don't know. Like, I just don't know about that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like if you've got mental health problems and then you have a back problem, I know, you know, in every league, NFL is probably one of the most prominent ones. Players played injured all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the NBA, it happens as well. So, you know, if he's got this back injury, though, I mean, the back is like, you know, it connects your whole body. So if something is out, you could literally just like, you know, fall on the floor or like, you know.
And a herniated disc. That's not just, oops, I slept funny. Yeah. That is a severe condition. And when you're dealing with severe pain, that's not good mentally either. You know, physically or mentally. I mean, we don't know what is going on with him. Physically or mentally. We just know what we're told. We just know what's released to us. But interesting. Yeah,
that one was interesting. Another couple of highlights. So Phoenix played New Orleans last night as well. And now the series is tied 2-2. Okay, so New Orleans was the 8th seed. And Phoenix is the first seed. And like, they had one of the best, you know, regular seasons. They won, I think it was 69 games. They have the most road wins of any team in the NBA. And here they are tied 2-2 with the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, last night's game was wild. And I don't want to say I have a new favorite NBA player, but I know.
Giannis?
I'm thinking. No. Oh, my gosh. Caroline.
trigger.
I know. That's just terrible. That's just mean. So there is and of course he is a guard, right? His name's Jose Alvarado, and he actually played for Georgia Tech. I just like didn't know about him when he played in college, but he is like this little firecracker, and he does these sneaky little plays, and he steals the ball all the time. He's getting in Chris Paul's shirt, and he's causing some problems. And I mean, he's really fun to watch. So this series has become something very exciting compared to what I thought. I thought Phoenix was just going to roll right over them. But that's been really exciting. And then there's been a lot of poop talking, as Caroline likes to say, with the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies. And Karl Anthony Towns, you know, said, you guys are in Minnesota now. And then on Thursday, this was Thursday, this wasn't over the weekend, but the Grizzlies went on a 50-16 run in the last 15 minutes to win the game. And that, like, a 50-16 run, I mean, like, basketball is a game of runs, but like, that is just absolutely wild. And then Ja Morant tweets out, we're in Minnesota now. And I'm just like, man, like, these guys with their social media are just hilarious. So funny.
And I mean, that's why we love our jobs, because they make it entertaining. So social media has been just a poop sandwich. There, we're going to say that again, but it's also been so fun because we can see things like that and we can hold people accountable, like Mr. Dragic there. Very, very interesting. Any final words on that?
Nope. Those are the highlights from, the last few days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You light up like a Christmas tree when you talk about the NBA and or basketball in general, not just the NBA. It makes me happy.
Well, guess what? You're going to get happier because we're going to talk about some Blue Jays.
Ah, yeah. We're going to get more hate, but whatever. Yes, the Mariners are good too. But yeah, the Blue Jays beat Boston today. Bo Bichette, Grand Slam. All the Vancouver Canadiens are back in town. I've got funky tan lines on my legs because Bonehead wears ripped jeans to a sunny day game. So I've got these weird brown patches all over my legs. It's, you know, gnarly.
I saw your Twitter on, I think it was Friday, because it was after your shift Friday. You went to that 1 o'clock game, right?
Yes.
And I thought, I saw the rips in your jeans, and I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to get a gnarly tan line. And I don't know why I thought that. That's like the last thing I should worry about. But
that's the first thing I thought of. And while I was there, you know, because me smart, I'm like, oh, well, crap, I'm just going to own this. It's not like I'm wearing shorts. It's freezing outside. I'm not wearing shorts. Yes, freezing to me. Not wearing shorts. And yeah, so funky tan line. And that Friday game was just so much fun. It was the first nooner, even though it started at 1. Mm-hmm. And actually 2 o'clock because there was field issues. They had to dry out the field first. Yeah, so it started at 2, but it started. And it was a doubleheader. And it was just so, damn, it's so good to be back at the net. It was just so much fun. And I discovered blood orange neutral.
Oh, do tell, share.
It's neutral vodka drinks, and they're blood orange flavor. Ooh. So it's sweet, but not in your face. I'm going to knock your face off with it. It's quite delightful. Too delightful, if you will.
Better than grapefruit. I know you like a grapefruit seltzer.
I like the grapefruit White Claws. Me classy. But yeah, that's and you know, I came home and I napped that night because I didn't have my afternoon nap after my shift, and then I went right to the ballpark and started, you know, ingesting blood orange neutral. So I had a nap, and then I woke up, and the first thing I see was the BCHL situation. So of course I, you know, had to put my phone down because I was going to tweet and I was going to say some really bad things about, you know, the racist comments. And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to be classy about it and just put my phone down. Calling people names is not going to help the situation. Yes. But yeah. Oh, and Lindsay, yes, no Devin Booker, and the Suns still can't D up against length like Ingram, says unsigned text. So yeah, the Devin Booker factor is very real with the NBA. But yeah, Vancouver Canadiens, Blue Jays, and you know, it's less than 20 games in, so I'm not going to panic and I'm not going to celebrate because it's 20 games out of 100 plus. So we can all chill out, but it's just nice to see the teams that we follow do well. Mariners killing it. They went 7-2 on this recent homestand. Mariners, you know, Robbie Ray is Robbie Ray. And that's also good to see. So, I mean, again, I don't subscribe to the, oh, you're a Jays fan. Well, you can't talk Mariners or Mariners. You have to, do we have to pick one? I mean, what is this? So when did it become Sophie's choice? I mean, I don't know. When? Yeah, so it's just good to see that the teams that we follow in these parts doing well. Mm-hmm. Vancouver Canadiens, first place. Thank you very much. I say thank you very much, like I had something to do with it. Yes, me yelling on the field is really helpful. No, but the Canadiens are a good team as well, and it's just good to be back at the Nat, man. I mean, I can't wait for the first Saturday night home game because those are just off the charts. So excited for that. We got to do an OT outing for that. We'll sit in the Hey Y'all porch or whatever it's called now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's happening for sure. I'm going on July 1st. You should come too.
Ooh, yes. Ooh, a Canada Day celebration.
Let's go.
Let's go.
And, okay. So I have a question before we do more Canadians, because I wanted to ask about George Springer.
Yeah.
Because things got a bit scary last week, and I thought that the results from his forearm contusion were going to come back, that he had broken his forearm or something, and then this season might be a wrap. Mm-hmm. It's not broken, correct?
Nope. Yeah, he missed a chunk of the season last year, not for that, various other injuries. And you just go, oh gosh, no, and this one's not really his fault. But he was available to pinch hit the next day, and he did. And tonight, he made the most sensational grab. My phone was exploding, all of the notifications. Of course, I was, you know, watching with my dad, and he nearly, you know, he stopped breathing for a moment. And absolutely incredible diving catch. So Springer is doing just fine. Little Bo Bichette, grand slam in the eighth to seal the deal. And it's just, again, it's not even 20 games in. We're not going to celebrate, nor shall we panic. But Texas Rangers, who, you know, loaded up in the offseason, struggling, 5-10. Mariners just absolutely had their way with them. So, again, too soon to push the panic button.
Right.
Too soon to celebrate. No one's celebrating a World Series win yet, and no one is saying, oh my gosh, my team is the worst. Well, unless you're Cincinnati Reds. But the one thing that the Cincinnati Reds do have is Canadian Joey Votto. Well, he's American now, but like me, born in Canada, became American, but always Canadian. And his social media is giving me life. He just joined Instagram, and I don't know how I stumbled upon it. I think a friend of mine who it was? Katie Balick, Greg Balick's beautiful wife, Balick of Sportsnet. She posted something about on his Instagram, and I was like, oh, cool. So I clicked on it, and I was just hooked in, because Joey Votto is a national treasure. He's a nut, and we need to be his best friend. We need to get him on OT.
He'd fit right in on the show.
He would absolutely fit right in. We just have to go, hey, Joey, hi. And then he would just talk for 20 minutes, and we would just sit there and just listen to him go. So Joey Votto, worth a follow, and also Canadian. And he could use some love because his team has 3 wins on the season. Again, too soon to panic, but dang.
Yeah. When you told me to give him a follow, I looked at when he first started using Instagram, and it says March 22nd, which is so funny. I just always assume everybody has Instagram and Twitter because we have to use them and have them. But yeah, it's pretty funny. And some of his stuff is really hilarious. Like when he gets 100,000 followers, he does this really funny thing. I urge everyone to check that out. Caroline said, Caroline knew I'd get a kick out of that one. You know,
I watched it about 4,006 times, give or take.
It used to be really funny when Instagram was sort of, you know, becoming all the rage, and people were starting to become influencers around like 2014, 2013. And then when people would get 1 million followers, they would do a party for it. You know, like, I've got 1 million followers, let's have a party, like, celebrate it. And I wonder if he will do something like that, kind of like a little bit of a throwback, but also really funny and sort of mocking it.
Oh, he better. He absolutely better, because, yeah, it makes me unbelievably happy that he's alive. And, yeah, I just, you guys had me following Elias Pettersson, which made me feel all kinds of ways. But, you know, I followed him.
Elias
Pettersson had a great offseason.
He is a great follow. And I always like to see where he's eating at. You know, he posted Nightingale not too long ago. He, you know what? He likes to shoot some hoops. And I enjoy that about Elias Pettersson. He'll like be, you know, at, I think he was at Kitts Beach shooting one time not too long ago. It was really funny. Some of the hockey players around here are great follows. Tyler Toffoli's a good follow too.
Oh, you can't say that name here.
No, I know. But, you know.
Or he'll too score soon, a goal Lindsay. Again.
Yeah, exactly.
Too soon, Lindsay. Yeah. Yeah, you say his name, he manifests goals. Don't do that. Just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. And Serge Ibaka.
Oh, great follow. That's right. Mm-hmm. How hungry are you segment? Yes, Sportsnet has that. So, hey, a little shout out for that. He is funny. And I love his posts about his clothing, because, you know, he always says, I don't dress, I do art. Oh, my goodness. It's the best.
Yeah, we are easily amused here on OT. But on that note, it is time to wrap it quickly. But Giants This Week with Dan O'Connor is coming up at 8 o'clock. And can we just talk about Giants quickly? Giants sneaking into the playoffs, taking on Everett. Just dang, what a team Everett is. First two games in Everett, they come home with a split. They would take the first game in overtime, Giants would, in Everett. And the series resumes at the LEC this Wednesday. It's playoff hockey in Langley, friends. And, of course, Abbotsford Canucks are riding an 8-game winning streak. They just beat the Stockton Heat, who is Calgary's affiliate. And Stockton's just, like, running through the Pacific Division, just absolutely blowing through it. Abbotsford Canucks took care of them in their last game. Abbey Nucks have an 8-game winning streak. Vancouver Giants is in the playoffs, coming home, series even at a game apiece. Jesper Vikman probably, you know, still a little, you know, Jesper Vikman in net, which is always a good thing for Vancouver Giants fans. So there's a whole lot to be excited about on the ice, aside from the Vancouver Canucks, which there's still a chance. Less than 1% is still a chance. Okay. There we go.
And let's give Dan O'Connor some credit, because he went into game one on Friday and I was here with a strained voice. And just knowing the energy and the emotion going into the postseason, and then he has to call an overtime winner in game one, that's not easy for Dan O'Connor to do. So we know he fought through the first two games of the series with a bit of a rough voice. So props
and
to him.
And can we talk about Dan O'Connor when he had COVID? He still, he couldn't call the games, but he still showed up for every, remotely, for every pre-game, post-game, and intermission, and still made sure all the press releases were out. I mean, so he was down with COVID, and still, Dan O'Connor's a
dedication.
Bloody machine. He is an absolute machine, and he is the Giants organization, and he is coming up in T-minus 5 minutes. Any final words, Ms. Horsting?
No, I don't have any final words. I mean, you know, about the Canucks, it just is what it is. If you say there's still a chance, I'll let you say that there's still a chance, because
saying I believe it. I'm saying that on paper, there's less than 1% chance, and there's not an E left on their name.
Wiley Coyote is still dangling.
Fair enough.
Wiley Coyote is dangling. His little head is there, and his little body is stretched, and he's stretching down into the crater or whatever he's going into. But yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened. Mm. Abbey Nucks are in. Vancouver Giants are in.
Maybe a little good luck will rub off on the Vancouver Canucks. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Well, we shall see tomorrow night right here on Sportsnet 650. Segway. Yes, Kraken in town, 7 o'clock puck drop per usual. And we've got the call here on Sportsnet 650. Till then, we've got Giants This Week coming up at 8 o'clock. Caroline Frolic, Lindsay Horsting. Eddie, thank you so much for getting us on the air and for your insight.
You're welcome.
You are an official OT. You're one of us now, friend. You're one of us now.
I'm an OT third wheel.
I'm sorry. All right, that was it. OT, Sportsnet 650.